Our platforms are available in person and live streamed on YouTube, Sundays at 11 a.m. Central Time. To participate in our platforms, please join us in person or go to our website, ethicalstl.org, to the news tab for a link to our live stream. This podcast is brought to you by the Ethical Society of St. Louis, Being Human Together. The following recording is of a platform address presented to the Ethical Society of St. Louis by Dr. Amy Hunter. Entitled Hope, it was presented live on 1 June 2025.
I'm beyond excited that our platform address today features Dr. Amy A. Hunter, Vice President of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, and Talent Acquisition for the publicly traded Caleres. Amy has enjoyed a career in human resources and DEI and has spoken and presented diversity trainings, keynotes, seminars, and strategy sessions around the world. She is well-respected globally and locally and has received numerous awards for her achievements as a diversity scholar and activist. We are fortunate to have Amy with us today presenting on hope. Please help me in extending a warm welcome to Dr. Amy Hunter.
Gosh, I love the Ethical Society, I have to admit. Wow, so I don't remember when you asked me to speak and that the title would be Hope during such a moment. And it took me a minute. Like, usually I'm like, okay, like, what's the theme? Like, I got it, you know, like, I'm gonna dream about it, it'll come to me, you know. And I was like, Tuesday, I was like, whoa, what are we talking about on Sunday? I am a hugely optimistic person, like hugely optimistic person. I wake up happy, even during menopause. Yes, I know when the birds start singing at 4:30 in the morning because I'm up with them at 4:30 in the morning listening. And like in some way, I'm still in this, isn't this great? What a gift. I get to wake up with the birds, right? Like, hard to unrattle me, hard to unsettle me, and yet in the last 100 days, I've spent more time crying for other people, questioning where will this go, and yet I actually still do remain hopeful. I actually do still remain hopeful. So Nelson Mandela, I love quotes, but one of the may our choices reflect your hopes, not your fears. And when I think about this moment of hopefulness, I'm actually super hopeful for a couple of reasons, and I'll explain why. But I'm actually super hopeful about this moment. And I do believe it is about the choices that we're going to make going forward. And, you know, in a very hopeful way, the stories that we'll get to tell our children, grandchildren, whatever. Write in your journals, y'all, how you're feeling right now so the generations to come can know how hopeful you were, not for just this moment, but for all the next moments to come. Because this won't be our last time, right? Well, you're like, okay. So anybody over the age of 4, like, you've been through stuff before. Right? It's not your first. And you came through, right? Whether that divorce, kid, whatever. Like, you managed middle school. It's a whole thing, right? And so it's not that we haven't done this, it's that our hearts were broken. That's what it was. So there's really cool research on this. So it turns out if you're in a car accident and you break, like, I don't know, 20 bones in your body, you will eventually, over time, forget the pain you were in, even the immediate pain. For a while, you can tell the story and kind of reflect and, God, that really hurt. Really, I was in so much pain and my leg was in traction. You can remember that. It turns out research says that heartbreak is different. If your heart has ever been broken, when you have to tell the story of the moment your heart was broken, your body and your brain actually remembers the moment as if it's happening now. And so just noticing that this moment in time is a moment of heartbreak. And if you remember anything, you remember getting over that heartbreak. It took some grieving. So I encourage people in these next few weeks to grieve. Your heart has been broken. This is not what you thought it would be. This is not how you thought it might look. People you thought you knew are saying things you thought they would never say. And it's okay. It actually is okay. And we will be okay. And it will be okay as well. Because just like that heartbreak, if y'all remember, I kind of remember. One of the questions I asked was like, why did I stay so long? Why did I grieve so long? It took me like, look, we're friends, right? I've been here before. My husband left. It took me 5 years to date again. 5 years. And I look back like, man, it took me five. What was I? Five. He wasn't that great, right? 5 years. 5 years, long time in your life, right? But nonetheless, here we are. We got through it, right? I learned to love again. Life is good again. All those things. That is true for us as well. And I want us to hold on to not the heartbreak moment, but the joy that we had when we found love again. Because that exists as well. I didn't know that, but I do now. And so when I think about this moment in time, I have to reflect upon the generations before me. Like, you know, I'm an optimistic person, so let me be clear. What a great time we're in right now. We have the baby boomers who are still with us. Just offering. Yeah. Yay, boomers. I remember before the election of President Obama not understanding why white Jesus and Martin Luther King were on my grandma's wall. I didn't get it. I know. Bless her heart. It took me a minute. I was like, he's black. But nonetheless, we could get through the Jesus part. But the Martin Luther King part, I actually didn't understand at all. I mean, like, I knew he was great and organized marches, was cool, learned that in school, like, that was cool. Then he was killed, right? It wasn't until the election of President Obama, I had never seen the country come together towards something that was racial, ever, in my whole life. And I was 40-something years old, and I'd never seen in my whole life the country come together. And then he won. And I worked on his campaign. I didn't think he was going to win. I'm going to be really honest with you. I didn't think he was going to win. But I didn't want him to not win because I didn't help. My mother was an ex-nun. There's a little Catholic guilt there. Yeah? Okay. And then he won. And I was like, whoa. What else could we? It is a moment to notice how easy it is to set your sights on it's just okay. Everybody been in a just okay relationship before? I mean, it's just okay. That's where we were. Well, that's where I was. I was like, I mean, America, it's just okay. Then he won. I was like, whoa, anything's possible. And then it dawned on me. I bet the baby boomers were having that same moment during the civil rights movement, Stonewall, ERA. And I remember referring to them not as boomers, but as believers. I was like, there's just something about this group of people, my parents and their friends, who like have this sense of spirit, like anything's possible. And they were like, you know, like, anything's possible. It's like, oh my gosh. Like, this is why they thought anything was possible. It wasn't just that they were two really optimistic people. Like, I just thought that my parents were like super optimistic, like anything's possible. No, you could do anything. No, really, you could do. It's like, okay, I'm gonna major in math. They're like, okay, go. Do that, great job. I'm gonna do field hockey. Okay, I'm gonna be a hurdler. Somebody should have told me. Right? But I did it, right? Because we have a whole generation of people who know, instinctively know, in their spirits, in their souls, not just that it will be okay, not that we will just get through it, but we have the power to resist what is currently happening right now. And they're not gone, and they're not tired, and they are feisty as heck, and so are we. It's with that spirit, it's with that hopefulness that I wake up every single day, every day. I am not confused that we are absolutely the right people in this moment, at this time, to do this work. Absolutely us. It should be us. We have people who are here who've witnessed change before. We have a huge body of young people who are like not taking any. They don't even want to come to work 5 days, y'all. Right? They're not taking it. They can reimagine the world and the people in the middle like me who are willing to do literally anything to see love again. That's where we are. So I want to honor the people who were before me, who did the heavy lifting, who made a world that I actually can't even... What's happening now is so outside of my purview, of my own reality, because the baby boomers and the generations before did such a good job making a world where I could imagine anything. Not just for myself, but for other people. So I will honor that work, because work continues. That's how this goes, right? I would love to tell you, like, the ERA movement started with Gloria Steinem. That's just where I entered. Women have been working for equality forever, and still are, right? We pick up the torch, and we continue on to go, because that's what life's about. And we don't get to celebrate unless we're part of the celebration. So I encourage all of us to be part of what's going to happen now. All of, in some shape, form, or fashion. Even if that means that we have to notice what grief looks like, what heartbreak looks like. Look, y'all, I've heard, I grew up in U City. I know it's known for its liberalness, but for those people who've heard me speak before, I am known for the person who forged all the black people to get into honors classes, because you should be able to take an honors class if you want. What are we fighting here? Young people wanting to take honors classes? This is ridiculous. If you want to take an honors class, I think you should be in a public school, sign up to take an honors. It's just a lot more work, right? Like, so anyway, so when I came back from Rosati to U City High School, I noticed that in a public school, you have a right to take any class you want, but you have to have your parents' signature if your teacher didn't recommend you for the class. And so I would tell everybody to go to the counselor and get the paper, and I'll just sign your parents' name. Like, yeah. I've checked with the police. The statute of limitations on that has run out. So it shouldn't be this hard. Shouldn't be this hard. People should get this. So I'm saying that because sometimes in the moments of civility, and I know that's trending right now, it's trending in HR, it's trending in corporate, to be civil, say please and thank you. I have some other stories that I like much better, the moments of incivility, the moments of civil disobedience, the moments of civil disruption, where we were fighting towards liberation, and my word, we were fighting towards love. And I make no apologies for that. None. So I'm going to keep fighting in order to honor the people who went before me, but also to deal with what's happening now. Next slide. So how do we get here? I know y'all want to know. I want to know, too. I think about this, like, how do we get here? Like, I grew up in mixed-race space. Like, you know, my friends don't even go around telling people they know black people. Like, we're beyond that, you know? We're done. And yet, and still, we're still here. And so it made me question. I used to give a speech about being 6 feet closer because I like sheep, and you'll see a sheep picture at the end. And I think I have time to tell this. All right, so I was at church a long time ago, and they're telling the parable of the lost sheep. For those of you who don't know, there are 100 sheep, one is lost, and then they go find the lost sheep. And I'm like playing Candy Crush. I'm just being, you know, honest with y'all. I'm like, okay, I've heard this 1,000 times. And then the guy says, who's preaching, says, well, you know, sheep can only see 6 feet in front of themselves. I was like, what? So they get, you know, they're kind of blind. I was like, oh, that's like this. I'm like, well, no wonder why they got lost, right? Like, and then like a nerd, I go and research sheep. Like, you know, I was like, well, what else don't I know about sheep? You know, I was so inspired by this. I probably missed the whole. Turns out 8% of sheep are gay. I know. Like people, they like to run in herds and packs. They like to gather. I was like, oh, man, we're like sheep. This is why the story was helpful. It's like resonates with people. I get it. That's cool. If a sheep gets tipped over, it needs help to get up. Actually can't get itself back up. I was like, oh, that's like us. We need help too. We're like sheep in that way. And so for years, literally 10 years, because it was 10 years ago that I was in church and heard this. I mean, I've been since, but it was 10 years ago when I heard it. I used to go around. I was like, oh, we have to be like sheep, and we are lost, so we're going to find each other 6 feet at a time. And then COVID hit, you know, 6 feet resonate. I was like, 6 feet, 6 feet. I was popular for all the 6 feet. And then I realized during this time and asking, how did we get here, this moment, where it's popular to talk about rounding up hundreds and thousands of people and sending them to countries they don't belong and torturing them when they get, how did we get here? How did that become popular? How? How did we get here where my African-American friends are carrying their birth certificates in their purses? How? How did we get here? Where the people that I work with look at me in joy of such a moment as this. How did we get here? Then it realized we've been 6 feet apart, but we need to be closer, like 6 inches. We need to be close enough to hug, to whisper, to share our deepest fears. The last time we were here, I didn't tell anybody I was scared. This time, I'm telling everybody. I'm terrified every day. Watching suffering, it's no fun at all. And yet, when they went to the Library of Congress, they wouldn't let them in. After we explained the Library of Congress is not a place where children check out books. You can't make this up, y'all. Right? Protesting students that are taken from their beds in the middle of the night. People didn't just lay down. People didn't just like, oh, shrug shoulders. They didn't do that. Even on the fifth anniversary of George Floyd, people didn't just yawn. No, they went out. They protested. They said, hey, we remember. We remember this is a real person in real life. I'm just saying, y'all, it ain't over. How we got here is we thought we had some choices in people that we didn't have to care about anymore. We could name people and label people and talk about how ignorant people were. That's how we got here. I mean, just if anybody wants to know, that's what I figured out. The arrogance of that. To think that we don't need each other like sheep tipped over. We absolutely need each other. We are going to have to grieve and forgive and love again. We're going to have to find our way back to each other again. And I know what I just said sounds super duper hard. I got that. But I'm going to remind you what I said when I first got up here. We were built for this moment. If anybody's confused, like, what am I supposed to do? Or who am I supposed to love? That one, that person, the one that you don't want, the person you don't want to talk to, that's the person I need you to get close to. Because we'll be here again. And I don't know about y'all, but I don't ever want to be here again. Ever. And so I'm going to hold out for hope. I'm a big protester, so I'm going to keep protesting. At work, you know, I do all kind of radical things. I love my job. Love my job. They did things like allowed me to make tuition free. Right? Shouldn't it just be free, though? I was like, wait, I'm in charge of the tuition program? Okay, well, everybody gets to go free. Yeah, it's great. It's actually really great. We don't check your grades. We're grown. We don't do any of that. Those are moments, right? Moments of resistance. Whether you need college or not, major corporations could pay for it if you wanted to go. Just reimagine the world that way, especially since nobody's paying for loans anymore. Like, what if the corporations paid for education? Good idea. Reimagine what we see. Next slide. All right, so when I'm up with the birds at 4:30 in the morning, this is a true story, I go swimming at 6, so it makes sense I'm up at 4:30, not really. I also appreciate the things in nature, and I love windmills because they use what we already have to make something better, like energy, and if we saw ourselves as windmills, this would also make sense for ourselves, if that makes sense. But trees are my favorite thing in the world. I love birds. Because I think it's dope they have multiple sounds, like, right? That's cool. Feels unnecessary, but so joyful. Trees would be first because they bloom flowers, and they also grow from the top and the bottom. So when I think about strategy, our strategies around hope, it's going to be kind of like a tree. So some of us are going to bloom flowers. Some are just going to be green. Some are going to provide shade. Some are just going to be cute. Some are short. Some are super tall. And it will take multiple ways to get to where we want to go. So I don't want you to think I have to have the answer myself. I have to have a path, like a root or a branch. But I don't have to have the answer because, like a tree, there are lots of roots and branches. And so when I think about strategy around hope, it's going to be that. What's your hope strategy? What's the path for you? I'm going to have one, you have one, you have one, you have one, and we move together. Does that make sense? Yeah. And it doesn't have to look the same. Some could be underground for the people who are like, I'm too old to march. I just did a session 2 weeks ago where I was jumping up and down. I was like, I think this is the last time I'm going to jump up and down, right? Maybe, right? To know that it's okay if our paths switch as long as we are still in a hopeful path, we're still moving in the same direction. All right. Okay, love this. Pauli Murray said, don't get mad, get smart. I think this is really going to be our path. What I've noticed is a little pushback usually gets us a lot of ways. So really looking at the strategies on how we're going to do this. This tornado was a really good example here in St. Louis. We just had a horrible tornado that people are still suffering from. And if you notice, like, regular everyday people hit the ground. I mean, y'all, this is us. This is where we are. People went and bought diapers who haven't ever had a child for somebody else. People went and did water and volunteered and gave their clothes and all the things. These are the ways that we're going to move. And what a loving moment. I went door to door for the elderly people who couldn't get out to those hub centers. Because you know what? Even during the civil rights movement, it wasn't everybody. Oh, I know, I wasn't there. And I've heard everybody in St. Louis was at the March on Washington. It must have been empty. Everybody was there, right? It was really just a critical mass of people that we do have. We have a critical mass of people to make a difference in each one of these places, whether it's education. We have the, oh, I love the teachers. I love a teacher. My mom is a teacher. I'm a little biased. Those teachers were like, you're going to come in my school and take a kid. Not today, Satan. No, you're not. We're locking doors, right? It's, yes, people, mama bear-ish, right? Protecting young people, thinking about other ways to do this more radically. It's those moments. I hope you're also, because for every like sad story I'm looking at, which the comedians are having a field day with, I'm also looking at every joyful story that follows that story. So it wasn't just somebody got snatched. It's that then people protested and there was an uprising to get the person released. That's hopeful, and that's what it takes. And I know I'm saying this for the first time because this is my first time, so I apologize for all the people who've been here like 15 times before me. But for the people who are with me and this is our first time, like, this is joyful. It is an act of resistance. It is a consistent act of resistance for over 100 days, and I don't know about y'all, but I'm not even tired yet. I'm like, what are we doing today? How are we doing this today? Who are we helping today? Who are we serving today? What does this look like? What does my love out loud look like today? How am I going to work at work? How am I going to move when I'm volunteering? How am I going to move when I come to the Ethical Society? Every single day is such a great opportunity for us to show an act of resistance and love towards each other. And that I'm willing to sign up for every day. Every day. It brings me joy, but it also brings me hope. And the young people are like super energetic, so I'm super jazzed about young folks. All right, last one. Oh yeah, I told you you'd see a picture of sheep. There's my sheep picture. One of the things that I like about this moment is that I do believe, and I said this like on day two, and people looked at me like I was crazy. And I was like, no. This is so big. We will have no choice but to come together. We will have no choice but to move towards each other. We will have no choice but to have conversations we might have been avoided having prior to now, and that will bring us deeper in relationship and closer together. And who wouldn't want to be closer together? Like, this is like a party, a national party. I know y'all like, it's Amy. I know, because you're not seeing it. I want you to tilt that kaleidoscope ever so gently towards the sun, and you can see something different. That's what it's going to take. It's going to take us to just tilt ever so gently just to see it differently so we can see the beauty in what's currently here and then move towards what we know can be possible. So I don't know about y'all, but I'm ready for the next step. I'm incredibly hopeful for the next moment, incredibly overjoyed that, A, like the sheep, I don't have to do this alone. Constantly reminded that I have other people surrounding me, with me, near me, hopeful too, joyful too, and moving in the same direction. Thank you.
You have been listening to a platform address presented to the Ethical Society of St. Louis by Dr. Amy Hunter on 1 June 2025. To hear other platform addresses, to learn more about our society, the ethical culture movement, or to donate to support our society, please visit our website at ethicalstl.org. Until next time, thank you for listening. Don't miss new presentations. Subscribe in your podcatcher. You can find us on a variety of services, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, and YouTube Music. Also, if you enjoy these programs, please rate them to let the world know.